12. Negotiations. I ask not that you forgive me, nor that you even understand. From Oathbringer, Preface. Dalinar stood beside the glass windows in an upper floor room of Uathiru, hands clasped behind his back. He could see his reflection hinted in the window, and beyond it, vast openness. The sky cloud-free, the sun burning white. Windows as tall as he was, he'd never seen anything like them. Who would dare build something of glass, so brittle, and face it toward the storms? But of course, this city was above the storms. These windows seemed a mark of defiance, a symbol of what the Radiance had meant. They had stood above the pettiness of world politics, and because of that height, they could see so far.
"You are Dealars, them," said a distant voice in his head, like rumbling thunder. "They were men like you, no better, no worse."
"I find that encouraging," Dalinar whispered back. "If they were like us, then it means we can be like them."
"They eventually betrayed us. Do not forget that."
"Why?" Dalinar asked. "What happened? What changed them?" The Stormfather fell silent.
"Please," Dalinar said, "tell me." "Some things are better left forgotten," the voice said to him. "You, of all men, should understand this, considering the hole in your mind and the person who once filled it."
Dalinar drew in a sharp breath, stung by the words.
"Bright Lord," Brightness Calamy said from behind, "the Emperor is ready for you."
Dalinar turned. Uruthiru's upper levels held several unique rooms, including this amphitheater. Shaped like a half-moon, the room had windows at the top, the straight side, then rows of seats leading down to a speaking floor below. Curiously, each seat had a small pedestal beside it. For the Radiance Spren, the Stormfather told him. Dalinar started down the steps toward his team. Aladar and his daughter May, Navani, wearing a bright green hava, sitting in the front row with feet stretched out before her, shoes off and ankles crossed. Elderly Calami to right, and Teshev Kal, one of Alethkar's finest political minds, to advise. Her two senior wards sat beside her, ready to provide research or translation if needed. A small group, prepared to change the world.
"Send my greetings to the Emperor," Dalinar instructed.
Calami nodded, writing. Then she cleared her throat, reading the response that the span read, writing as if on its own, relayed.
"You are greeted by His Imperial Majesty, Chief V.D. Yanagon I, Emperor of Makabak, King of Aesir, Lord of the Bronze Palace, Prime Akasix, Grand Minister and Emissary of Aesir."
"An imposing title," Navani noted. "For a 15-year-old boy."
"He supposedly raised a child from the dead," Teshev said. "A miracle that gained him the support of the viziers. Local word is that they had trouble finding a new prime after the last two were murdered by our old friend the assassin in white. So the viziers picked a boy with questionable lineage and made up a story about him saving someone's life in order to demonstrate a divine mandate."
Dalinar grunted. "Making things up doesn't sound very Aesish."
"They're fine with it," Navani said, "as long as you can find witnesses willing to fill out affidavits. Calami, thank His Imperial Majesty for meeting with us and his translators for their efforts."
Calami wrote, and then she looked up at Dalinar, who began to pace the center of the room. Navani stood to join him, eschewing her shoes, walking in socks.
"Your Imperial Majesty," Dalinar said. "I speak to you from the top of Uathiru, City of Legend. The sights are breathtaking. I invite you to visit me here and tour the city.
You are welcome to bring any guards or retinue you see fit. He looked to Navani, and she nodded. They'd discussed long how to approach the monarchs and had settled on a soft invitation. Aesir was first, the most powerful country in the West, and home to what would be the most central and important of the Oathgates to secure. The response took time. The Aesish government was a kind of beautiful mess, though Gavilar had often admired it. Layers of clerics filled all levels, where both men and women wrote. Scions were kind of like ardents, though they weren't slaves, which Dalinar found odd. In Aesir, being a priest minister in the government was the highest honor to which one could aspire. Traditionally, the Aesish prime claimed to be emperor of all Makabak, a region that included over a half dozen kingdoms and princedoms. In reality, he was king over only Aesir, but Aesir did cast a long, long shadow. As they waited, Dalinar stepped up beside Navani, resting his fingers on one of her shoulders, then drew them across her back, the nape of her neck, and let them linger on the other shoulder. Who would have thought a man his age could feel so giddy? "Your Highness," the reply finally came, Calame reading the words. "We thank you for your warning about the storm that blew from the wrong direction. Your timely words have been noted and recorded in the official annals of the Empire, recognizing you as a friend to Aesir." Calame waited for more, but the span reed stopped moving. Then the ruby flashed, indicating that they were done.
"That wasn't much of a response," Aladar said. "Why didn't he reply to your invitation, Dalinar?"
"Being noted in their official records is a great honor to the Aesish," Teshav said. "So they've paid you a compliment."
"Yes," Navani said, "but they are trying to dodge the offer we made. Press them, Dalinar."
"Calame, please send the following," Dalinar said. "I am honored, though I wish my inclusion in your annals could have been due to happier circumstances. Let us discuss the future of Roshar together, here. I am eager to make your personal acquaintance."
They waited as patiently as they could for a response. It finally came in Alethi.
"We of the Aesish crown are saddened to share mourning for the fallen with you. As your noble brother was killed by the Shin Destroyer, so were beloved members of our court. This creates a bond between us."
That was all. Navani clicked her tongue.
"They're not going to be pushed into an answer."
"They could at least explain themselves," Dalinar snapped. "It feels like we're having two different conversations."
"The Aesish," Teshav said, "do not like to give offense. They're almost as bad as the Emuli in that regard, particularly with foreigners."
It wasn't only an Aesish attribute in Dalinar's estimation. It was the way of politicians worldwide. Already this conversation was starting to feel like his efforts to bring the High Princes to his side back in the war camps. Half answer after half answer, mild promises with no bite to them, laughing eyes that mocked him even while they pretended to be perfectly sincere. Storms. Here he was again, trying to unite people who didn't want to listen to him. He couldn't afford to be bad at this, not any longer.
"There was a time," he thought, "when I united in a different way."
He smelled smoke, heard men screaming in pain, remembered bringing blood and ash to those who defied his brother. Those memories had become particularly vivid lately.
"Another tactic, maybe?" Navani suggested. "Instead of an invitation, try an offer of aid."
"Your Imperial Majesty," Dalinar said, "war is coming. Surely you have seen the changes in the Parshmen. The Voidbringers have returned. I would have you know that the Alethi are your allies in this conflict. We would share information regarding our successes and failures in resisting this enemy, with hope that you'll report the same to us. Mankind must be unified in the face of the mounting threat."
The reply eventually came,
"We agree that aiding one another in this new age will be of the utmost importance. We are glad to exchange information. What do you know of these transformed Parshmen?
We engaged them on the Shattered Plains, Dalinar said, relieved to make some kind of headway. Creatures with red eyes, and similar in many ways to the Parshmen we found on the Shattered Plains, only more dangerous. I will have my scribes prepare reports for you detailing all we have learned in fighting the Parshendi over the years.
Excellent, the reply finally came. This information will be extremely welcome in our current conflict.
What is the status of your cities? Dalinar asked. What have the Parshmen been doing there? Do they seem to have a goal beyond wanton destruction?
Tensely, they waited for word. So far, they'd been able to discover blessed little about the Parshmen the world over. Captain Kaladin sent reports using scribes from towns he visited, but knew next to nothing. Cities were in chaos and reliable information scarce.
Fortunately, came the reply, our city stands and the enemy is not actively attacking any longer. We are negotiating with the hostiles.
Negotiating? Dalinar said, shocked.
He turned to Teshev, who shook her head in wonder.
Please clarify, Your Majesty, Navani said. The Voidbringers are willing to negotiate with you?
Yes, came the reply. We are exchanging contracts. They have very detailed demands with outrageous stipulations. We hope that we can forestall armed conflict in order to gather ourselves and fortify the city.
They can write? Navani pressed. The Voidbringers themselves are sending you contracts?
The average Parshman cannot write, so far as we can tell, the reply came. But some are different, stronger, with strange powers. They do not speak like the others.
Your Majesty, Dalinar said, stepping up to the Spanreed writing table, speaking more urgently, as if the Emperor and his ministers could hear his passion through the written word. I need to talk to you directly. I can come myself through the portal we wrote of earlier. We must get it working again.
Silence. It stretched so long that Dalinar found himself grinding his teeth, itching to summon a shard blade and dismiss it over and over, as had been his habit as a youth. He'd picked it up from his brother. A response finally came.
We regret to inform you that the device you mention, Calamy read, is not functional in our city. We have investigated it and have found that it was destroyed long ago. We cannot come to you, nor you to us. Many apologies.
He's telling us this now? Dalinar said. Storms, that's information we could have used as soon as he learned it.
It's a lie, Navani said. The Oath Gate on the Shattered Plains functioned after centuries of storms and Krem buildup. The one in Azamir is a monument in the Grand Market, a large dome in the center of the city.
Or so she'd determined from maps. The one in Kolinar had been incorporated into the palace structure, while the one in Thalen City was some kind of religious monument. A beautiful relic like this wouldn't simply be destroyed.
I agree with Brightness Navani's assessment, Teshev said. They are worried about the idea of you or your armies visiting. This is an excuse.
She frowned as if the Emperor and his ministers were little more than spoiled children disobeying their tutors. The Spanreed started writing again.
What does it say? Dalinar said, anxious.
It's an affidavit, Navani said, amused. That the Oath Gate is not functioning, signed by Imperial architects and storm wardens.
She read further.
Oh, this is delightful. Only the Azish would assume you'd want certification that something is broken.
Notably, Calamy added, it only certifies that the device does not function as a portal. But of course it would not. Not unless a Radiant were to visit and work it. This affidavit basically says that when turned off, the device doesn't work.
Write this, Calamy, Dalinar said. Your Majesty,
You ignored me once. Destruction caused by the Everstorm was the result. Please, this time listen. You cannot negotiate with the Voidbringers. We must unify, share information, and protect Roshar. Together.
She wrote it, and Dalinar waited, hands pressed against the table.
We misspoke when we mentioned negotiations, Calame read. It was a mistake of translation. We agree to share information, but time is short right now. We will contact you again to further discuss. Farewell, High Prince Colin.
Bah! Dalinar said, pushing himself back from the table. Fools! Idiots! Storming Light Eyes and damnation's own politics!
He stalked across the room, wishing he had something to kick, before forcing his temper under control.
That's more of a stonewall than I expected, Navani said, folding her arms. Brightness Kahl?
In my experiences with the Azish, Teshev said, they are extremely proficient at saying very little in as many words as possible. This is not an unusual example of communication with their upper ministers. Don't be put off. It will take time to accomplish anything with them.
Time during which Roshar burns, Dalinar said. Why did they pull back regarding their claim to have had negotiations with the Voidbringers? Are they thinking of allying themselves to the enemy?
I hesitate to guess, Teshev said, but I would say that they simply decided they'd given away more information than intended.
We need Azir, Dalinar said. Nobody in Makabuk will listen to us unless we have Azir's blessing, not to mention that Oathgate.
He trailed off as a different span read on the table started blinking.
It's the Thalens, Calame said. They're early.
You want to reschedule?
Navani asked. Dalinar shook his head.
No, we can't afford to wait another few days before the Queen can spare time again.
He took a deep breath. Storms talking to politicians was more exhausting than 100-mile march in full armor.
Proceed, Calame. I'll contain my frustration.
Navani settled down on one of the seats, though Dalinar remained standing. Light poured in through the windows, pure and bright. It flowed down, bathing him. He breathed in, almost feeling as if he could taste the sunlight. He'd spent too many days inside the twisting stone corridors of Yuathiru, lit by the frail light of candles and lamps.
Her Royal Highness, Calame read, Brightness Fenranandi, Queen of Thelena, writes to you.
Calame paused.
Bright Lord, pardon the interruption, but that indicates that the Queen holds the span reed herself, rather than using a scribe.
To another woman, that would have been intimidating. To Calame, it was merely one of many footnotes, which she added copiously to the bottom of the page before preparing the reed to relay Dalinar's words.
Your Majesty,
Dalinar said, clasping his hands behind his back and pacing the stage at the center of the seats.
Do better. Unite them.
I send you greetings from Yuathiru, holy city of the Knights Radiant, and extend to you our humblest invitation. This tower is truly a sight to behold, matched only by the glory of a sitting monarch. I would be honored to present it for you to experience.
The span reed quickly scribbled a reply. Queen Fen was writing directly in Alethi.
Colin, Calame read, you old brute, quit spreading chalscat. What do you really want?
I always did like her,
Navani noted.
I'm being sincere, Your Majesty, Dalinar said. My only desire is for us to meet in person and to talk to you and show you what we've discovered. The world is changing around us.
Oh, came the reply. The world is changing, is it? What led you to this incredible conclusion? Was it the fact that our slaves suddenly became void bringers? Or was it perhaps the storm that blew the wrong way? She wrote that twice as large as the line around it, Bright Lord. Ripping our cities apart?
Aladar cleared his throat.
Her Majesty seems to be having a bad day.
She's insulting us, Navani said. For Fen, that actually implies a good day.
She's always been perfectly civil the few times I've met her, Dalinar said with a frown.
She was being queenly then,
Navani said.
You've got her talking to you directly. Trust me, it's a good sign.
Your Majesty, Dalinar said, please tell me of your Parshmen. The transformation came upon them?
Yes, she replied. Storming monsters stole our best ships, almost everything in the harbor from single-masted sloops on up, and escaped the city.
They sailed? Dalinar said, again shocked. Confirm, they didn't attack?
There were some scuffles, Fen wrote, but most everyone was too busy dealing with the effects of the storm. By the time we got things somewhat sorted out, they were sailing away in a grand fleet of royal warships and private trading vessels alike.
Dalinar drew a breath.
We don't know half as much about the Voidbringers as we assumed.
Your Majesty, he continued, you might remember that we warned you about the imminent arrival of that storm.
I believed you, Fen said, if only because we got word from New Natanen confirming it. We tried to prepare, but a nation cannot upend 4 millennia worth of tradition at a snap of the fingers. Balin City is a shambles, Colin. The storm broke our aqueducts and sewer systems, and ripped apart our docks, flattened the entire outer market. We have to fix all our cisterns, reinforce our buildings to withstand storms, and rebuild society. All without any Parshmen laborers and in the middle of the storming weeping. I don't have time for sightseeing.
It's hardly sightseeing, Your Majesty, Dalinar said. I'm aware of your problems, and dire though they are, we cannot ignore the Voidbringers. I intend to convene a grand conference of kings to fight this threat.
Led by you, Fen wrote in reply. Of course.
Urethiru is the natural location for a meeting, Dalinar said. Your Majesty, the Knights Radiant have returned. We speak again their ancient oaths and bind the surges of nature to us. If we can restore your oathgate to functionality, you can be here in an afternoon and return the same evening to direct the needs of your city.
Navani nodded at this tactic, though Aladar folded his arms, looking thoughtful.
What?
Dalinar asked him as Calamy wrote.
We need a Radiant to travel to the city to activate their Oathgate, right?
Aladar asked.
Yes, Navani said. A Radiant needs to unlock the gate on this side, which we can do at any moment. Then one has to travel to the destination city and undo the lock there as well. That done, a Radiant can initiate a transfer from either location.
Then the only one we have that can theoretically get to Thalen City is the Windrunner, Aladar said. But what if it takes him months to get back here? Or what if he's captured by the enemy? Can we even make good on our promises, Dalinar?
A troubling problem, but one that Dalinar thought he might have an answer to. There was a weapon that he'd decided to keep hidden for now. It might work as well as a Radiant's Shardblade in opening the Oath Gates, and might let someone reach Thalen City by flight. That was moot for the time being. First he needed a willing ear on the other side of the span reed. Fen's reply came.
I will admit that my merchants are intrigued by these oath gates. We have lore surrounding them, that the one most passionate could cause the portal of worlds to open again. I think every girl in Thalena dreams of being the one to invoke it.
The passions,
Navani said with a downward turn of her lips. The Thalens had a pagan pseudo-religion, and that had always been a curious aspect in dealing with them. They would praise the heralds one moment, then speak of the passions the next. Well, Dalinar wasn't one to fault another for unconventional beliefs.
If you want to send me what you know about these oath gates, well, that sounds great, Fen continued. but I'm not interested in some grand conference of kings. You let me know what you boys come up with, because I'm going to be here frantically trying to rebuild my city."
"Well," Aladar said, "at least we finally got an honest response."
"I'm not convinced this is honest," Dalinar said. He rubbed his chin, thinking. He'd only met this woman a few times, but something seemed off about her responses.
"I agree, Bright Lord," Teshuv said. "I think any Thalen would jump at the chance to come pull strings at a meeting of monarchs, if only to see if she can find a way to get trade deals out of them. She is most certainly hiding something."
"Offer troops," Navani said, "to help her rebuild."
"Your Majesty," Dalinar said, "I am deeply grieved to hear of your losses. I have many soldiers here who are currently unoccupied. I would gladly send you a battalion to help repair your city."
The reply was slow in coming.
"I'm not sure what I think of having Alethi troops on my stone, well-intentioned or not," Aladar grunted. "She's worried about invasion? Everyone knows Alethi and ships don't mix."
"She's not worried about us arriving on ships," Dalinar said. "She's worried about an army of troops suddenly materializing in the center of her city."
A very rational worry. If Dalinar had the inclination, he could send a Windrunner to secretly open a city's oath gate and invade in an unprecedented assault that appeared right behind enemy lines. He needed allies, not subjects. So he wouldn't do it. At least, not to a potential friendly city. Kolinar, however, was another story. They still didn't have reliable word of what was happening in the Alethi capital. But if the rioting was still going on, he'd been thinking that there might be a way to get armies in and restore order. For now, he needed to focus on Queen Fen.
"Your Majesty," he said, nodding for Calamy to write, "consider my offer of troops, please. And as you do, might I suggest that you begin searching among your people for budding Knights Radiant? They are the key to working oath gates. We have had a number of Radiants manifest near the Shattered Plains. They are formed through an interaction with certain Spren, who seem to be searching for worthy candidates. I can only assume this is happening worldwide. It is entirely likely that among the people of your city, someone has already spoken the oaths."
"You are giving up quite an advantage, Dalinar," Aladar noted.
"I'm planting a seed, Aladar," Dalinar said. "And I'll plant it on any hill I can find, regardless of who owns it. We must fight as a unified people."
"I don't dispute that," Aladar said, standing up and stretching. "But your knowledge of the Radiance is a bargaining point, one that can perhaps draw people to you, force them to work with you. Give up too much and you might find a headquarters for the Knights Radiant in every major city across Roshar. Rather than working together, you'll have them competing to recruit."
He was right, unfortunately. Dalinar hated turning knowledge into bargaining chips, but what if this was why he'd always failed in his negotiations with the High Princes? He wanted to be honest, straightforward, and let the pieces fall where they may. But it seemed that someone better at the game, and more willing to break the rules, always snatched the pieces from the air as he dropped them, then set them down the way they wanted.
"And," he said quickly for Calamy to add, "we would be happy to send our Radiants to train those you discover, then introduce them to the system and fraternity of Urethiru, to which each of them has a right by nature of their oaths."
Calamy added this, then twisted the span reed to indicate they were done and waiting for a reply.
"We will consider this," Calamy read as the span reed scribbled across the page. "The Crown of Thelenor thanks you for your interest in our people, and we will consider negotiations regarding your offer of troops. We have sent some of our few remaining cutters to track down the fleeing Parshmen and will inform you of what we discover. Until we speak again, High Prince."
"Storms," Navani said. "She reverted to Queen speak. We lost her somewhere in there."
Dalinar sat down in the seat next to her and let out a long sigh.
Dalinar?
She said. I'm fine, Navani, he said. I can't expect glowing commitments to cooperation on my first attempt. We'll just have to keep trying. The words were more optimistic than he felt. He wished he could talk to these people in person instead of over Spanreed. They talked to the Princess of Ysir next, followed by the Prince of Tashik. They didn't have oath gates and were less essential to his plan, but he wanted to at least open lines of communication with them. Neither gave him more than vague answers. Without the Azish Emperor's blessing, he wouldn't be able to get any of the smaller Makabaki kingdoms to commit. Perhaps the Imuli or the Tukari would listen, but he'd only ever get one of those two, considering their long-standing feud. At the end of the last conference, Aladar and his daughter excusing themselves, Dalinar stretched, feeling worn down. And this wasn't the end of it. He would have discussions with the monarchs of Eri. It had three, strangely. The Oathgate at Ral Elorim was in their lands, making them important, and they held sway over nearby Rira, which had another Oathgate. Beyond that, of course, there were the Shin to deal with. They hated using Spanreeds, so Navani had poked at them through a Thalen merchant who had been willing to relay information. Dalinar's shoulder protested as he stretched. He had found middle age to be like an assassin, quiet, creeping along behind him. Much of the time he would go about his life as he always had until an unexpected ache or pain gave warning. He was not the youth he had once been. And bless the Almighty for that, he thought idly, bidding farewell to Navani, who wanted to sift through information reports from various Spanreed stations around the world. Aladar's daughter and scribes were gathering them in bulk for her. Dalinar collected several of his guards, leaving others for Navani should she need some extra hands, and climbed up along the rows of seats to the room's exit at the top. Hovering just outside the doorway, like an axe hound banished from the warmth of the fire, stood Elikar.
Your Majesty, Dalinar said, starting. I'm glad you could make the meeting. Are you feeling better?
Why do they refuse you, Uncle? Elikar asked, ignoring the question. Do they think perhaps you will try to usurp their thrones?
Dalinar drew in his breath sharply, and his guards looked embarrassed to be standing nearby. They backed up to give him and the king privacy.
Elikar, Dalinar said.
You likely think I say this in spite, the king said, poking his head into the room, noting his mother, then looking back at Dalinar. I don't. You are better than I am. A better soldier, a better person, and certainly a better king.
You do yourself a disservice, Elikar. You must,
oh, save your platitudes, Dalinar. For once in your life, just be honest with me.
You think I haven't been?
Elikar raised his hand and lightly touched his own chest.
Perhaps you have been, at times. Perhaps the liar here is me, lying to tell myself I could do this, that I could be a fraction of the man my father was. No, don't interrupt, Dalinar. Let me have my say. Void bringers? Ancient cities full of wonder? The desolations?
Elikar shook his head.
Perhaps I'm a fine king. Not extraordinary, but not an abject failure. But in the face of these events, the world needs better than fine.
There seemed a fatalism to his words, and that sent a worried shiver through Dalinar.
Elikar, what are you saying?
Elikar strode into the chamber and called down to those at the bottom of the rows of seats.
Mother? Brightness Teshav, would you witness something for me?
Storms, no, Dalinar thought, hurrying after Elikar. Don't do this, son.
We all must accept the consequences of our actions, uncle, Elikar said. I've been learning this very slowly, as I can be as dense as a stone. But, uncle, am I your king?
Elikar demanded.
Yes.
Well, I shouldn't be.
He knelt, shocking Navani and causing her to pull to a stop three-quarters of the way up the steps.
Dalinar Kholin, Elikar said in a loud voice, I swear to you now, there are princes and high princes. Why not kings and high kings? I give an oath, immutable and witnessed, that I accept you as my monarch.
As Alethkar is to me, I am to you.
Dalinar breathed out, looking to Navani's aghast face, then down to his nephew, kneeling as a vassal on the floor.
You did ask for this, uncle,
Alakar said. Not specifically in words, but it is the only place we could have gone.
You have slowly been taking command ever since you decided to trust those visions.
I've tried to include you, Dalinar said.
Silly, impotent words. He should be better than that.
You are right, Alakar. I'm sorry.
Are you? Alakar asked. Are you really?
I'm sorry, Dalinar said, for your pain. I'm sorry that I didn't handle this better. I'm sorry that this must be. Before you make this oath, tell me what you expect that it entails.
I've already said the words,
Alakar said, growing red-faced.
Before witnesses, it is done.
Oh, stand up, Dalinar said, grabbing him by the arm and hauling him to his feet.
Don't be dramatic. If you really want to swear this oath, I'll let you. But let's not pretend you can sweep into a room, shout a few words, and assume it's a legal contract.
Alakar pulled his arm free and rubbed it.
Won't even let me abdicate with dignity.
You're not abdicating,
Navani said, joining them. She shot a glare at the guards, who stood watching with slack jaws, and they grew white at the glare. She pointed at them as if to say not a word of this to anyone else.
Alakar, you intend to shove your uncle into a position above you. He's right to ask. What will this mean for Alethkar?
Alakar swallowed.
He should give up his lands to his heir. Dalinar is a king of somewhere else, after all. Dalinar, High King of Urethiru, maybe the Shattered Plains.
He stood straighter, speaking more certainly.
Dalinar must stay out of the direct management of my lands. He can give me commands, but I decide how to see them accomplished.
It sounds reasonable,
Navani said, glancing at Dalinar. Reasonable, but gut-wrenching. The kingdom he'd fought for, the kingdom he'd forged in pain, exhaustion, and blood, now rejected him.
This is my land now, Dalinar thought, this tower covered in cold spren. I can accept these terms, though at times I might need to give commands to your high princes.
As long as they're in your domain,
Alakar said, a hint of stubbornness to his voice, I consider them under your authority.
While they visit Urethiru, or the Shattered Plains, command as you wish. When they return to my kingdom, you must go through me.
He looked to Dalinar and then glanced down, as if embarrassed to be making demands.
Very well, Dalinar said, though we need to work this out with scribes before we make the change officially. And before we go too far, we should make certain there is still an Alethkar for you to rule.
I've been thinking the same thing, uncle. I want to lead our forces to Alethkar and recapture our homeland. Something is wrong in Kulinar. More than these riots or my wife's supposed behavior, more than the Spanreeds going still. The enemy is doing something in the city. I'll take an army to stop it and save the kingdom.
Alethkar? Leading troops? Dalinar had been imagining himself leading a force, cutting through the Voidbringer ranks, sweeping them from Alethkar and marching into Kulinar to restore order. Truth was, though, it didn't make sense for either of them to lead such an assault.
Alethkar, Dalinar said, leaning in. I've been considering something. The Oath Gate is attached to the palace itself. We don't need to march an army all the way to Alethkar. All we need to do is restore that device. Once it works, we can transport our forces into the city to secure the palace, restore order, and fend off the Voidbringers.
Get into the city, Alakar said. Uncle, to do that, we might need an army in the first place.
No, Dalinar said. A small team could reach Kulinar far faster than an army. As long as there was a Radiant with them, they could sneak in, restore the Oath Gate, and open the way for the rest of us.
Alakar perked up.
Yes. I'll do it, uncle. I'll take a team and reclaim our home. Aesudan is there. If the rioting is still happening, she's fighting against it.
That wasn't what the reports, before they'd cut off, had suggested to Dalinar. If anything, the Queen was the cause of the riots. And he certainly hadn't been intending Elokar to go on this mission himself. Consequences. The lad was earnest, as he'd always been. Besides, Elokar seemed to have learned something from his near death at the hands of assassins. He was certainly humbler now than he'd been in years past.
It is fitting, Dalinar said, that their king should be the one who saves them. I will see that you have whatever resources you need, Elokar.
Glowing glory spren orbs burst around Elokar. He grinned at them.
I only seem to see those when I'm around you, Uncle. Funny. For all that I should resent you, I don't. It's hard to resent a man who is doing his best. I'll do it. I'll save Alethkar. I need one of your radiants. The hero, preferably.
The hero?
The bridgeman, Elokar said. The soldier. He needs to go with me, so if I screw up and fail, someone will be there to save the city anyway.
Dalinar blinked.
That's very,
I've had ample chances to reflect lately, Uncle, Elokar said. The Almighty has preserved me despite my stupidity. I'll bring the bridgeman with me and I'll observe him, figure out why he's so special, see if he'll teach me to be like him. And if I fail?
He shrugged.
Well, Alethkar is in safe hands regardless, right?
Dalinar nodded, bemused.
I need to make plans, Elokar said. I've only just recovered from my wounds, but I can't leave until the hero returns anyway. Could he fly me and my chosen team to the city? That would certainly be the fastest way. I will want every report we've had from Kolinar, and I need to study the Oathgate device in person. Yes, and have drawings done comparing it to the one in the city, and...
He beamed.
Thank you, Uncle. Thank you for believing in me. If only this small amount.
Dalinar nodded to him, and Elokar retreated, a spring in his step. Dalinar sighed, feeling overwhelmed by the exchange. Navani hovered by his side as he settled down in one of the seats for the Radiance, beside a pedestal for a little spren. On one side he had a king swearing to him an oath he didn't want. On the other, he had an entire group of monarchs who wouldn't listen to his most rational of suggestions. Storms.
Dalinar? Calamy said. Dalinar!
He leaped to his feet, and Navani spun. Calamy was watching one of the span reeds which had started writing.
What was it now? What terrible news awaited him?
Your Majesty, Calamy read from the page, I consider your offer generous and your advice wise. We have located the device you call an oath gate. One of my people has come forward and, remarkably, claims to be radiant. Her spren directed her to speak with me. We plan to use her shard blade to test the device. If it works, I will come to you in all haste. It is well that someone is attempting to organize a resistance to the evils that befall us. The nations of Roshar must put aside their squabbles, and the reemergence of the holy city of Urethiru is proof to me that the Almighty guides your hand. I look forward to counseling with you and adding my forces to yours in a joint operation to protect these lands.
She looked up at him, amazed.
It was sent by Teravangian, king of Yakaved and Karbranth.
Teravangian? Dalinar hadn't expected him to reply so quickly. He was said to be a kindly, if somewhat simple, man. Perfect for ruling a small city-state with the help of a governing council. His elevation to king of Yakaved was widely seen as an act of spite from the former king, who hadn't wanted to give the throne to any of his rivals' houses. The words still warmed Dalinar. Someone had listened. Someone was willing to join him.
Bless that man. Bless him.
If Dalinar failed everywhere else, at least he would have King Teravangian at his side.